And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome to another edition of The Awakening here on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson. Great to be with you again today. And folks, this is an historic moment because just 2 days ago, President Trump announced that a deal has been reached with Iran. Now, I want to talk a little bit about this because this is critical. First of all, for all the naysayers, the people who say, this deal is no better than the deal Obama had, and all of that. Folks, under Obama's deal, Iran would have been able to start enriching uranium again this year. This year, under that deal. President Trump has apparently negotiated a deal in which they will never be able to enrich uranium. So this is not Obama's deal. This is far different, far better. So that's number one. Let's just put that out there right away. Number two, it is important to acknowledge that there are some questions that we do need to read the fine print. Because we don't know yet. We've got the broad strokes. The deal's scheduled to be signed on Friday, which is 2 days from the day this program posts. And we should know by that time, we should have a much, much better idea by that time what the parameters are of the deal. But at the moment, we don't know. We have the broad strokes, but we don't know the details. For example, right now, we don't know whether there are any restrictions on Iran's ability to use interballistic missiles. Because, of course, the fact that they might not have a nuclear weapon to destroy Israel with doesn't mean they wouldn't have some very powerful weapons to devastate Israel and, of course, completely disrupt the Middle East. So to what extent are there restrictions on them and on their military capabilities in general? I think that's something we've got to have resolved. Otherwise, this could end up being a Pyrrhic victory in which, yeah, well, they don't have nuclear weapons, but, which is, of course, I don't want to minimize that. That's big. But part of what we're trying to do is defang them so that they can no longer be the kind of destabilizing force that they have been in the Middle East. But if they're armed to the teeth with missiles, that's something we probably then haven't accomplished. Because they can still do tremendous damage to Israel and any other country they decide to target. So we've got to, shall we say, take a look at the details and find out exactly what is going on. Here's the third thing. Israel is not happy about it because apparently the deal does not include any built-in security measures for Israel itself. They're not supposed to be promoting terrorism, but apparently the deal simply does not include any reassurances with regard to Iran's attitude toward Israel or Iran's approach to Israel. Israel has continued to fight Hezbollah in Lebanon. The president has not liked that, had some pretty harsh language over that. And while I generally support the president, my view is I don't know how the president thinks or anybody thinks that they've got a right to tell Israel what to do about their own security any more than as an American, I think anybody has a right to tell us what to do about our security. I mean, because after all, it's in the end our sovereignty, our security, the safety of our people that we are duty-bound to protect. Well, Israel's the same way. So as far as I am concerned, I think Israel ought to be able to do whatever Israel needs to do in order to secure Israel. When I was at the National Association of Christian Lawmakers, I met some wonderful Jewish folks from Israel, from Galilee, and they said, we can't live in Galilee because Hezbollah has basically made it so difficult because of the constant bombing that a lot of people have left. Yeah, the land from which Jesus hailed is being riddled with bombs from Hezbollah. Lebanon is allowing it to go on, and of course, Iran is encouraging it. So, in my view, Israel ought to be able to do what they need to do. However, I will say this. The fact that Israel is not happy with this deal gives the perennial lie to the anti-Semitic trope that Benjamin Netanyahu is running President Trump. Benjamin Netanyahu is telling President Trump what to do, and he's running the White House. I mean, you know, I'm just amazed that people can be that dumb. I really am. You know, people who purport to be so intelligent and are thought of as being intelligent, Candace Owens, I mean, come on, Tucker Carlson, I mean, really. You don't have to be a genius to observe President Trump and realize President Trump is not a person that's going to be taking commands from anybody, Benjamin Netanyahu or anybody else. So this anti-Semitic nonsense just needs to stop. But again, while I'm certainly glad that we're close allies of Israel, and I want that to continue, I don't think we have a right to tell Israel what they can and cannot do for their own security. And so we'll see how all of that shakes out. Now, since the announcement itself, even though we have not seen the details and we don't know exactly what those are, I can give you the broad strokes. The broad strokes are, number one, nuclear materials held by Iran will be destroyed and or removed. In other words, all nuclear materials held by Iran will be removed from Iran. The nuclear program itself will be completely and totally dismantled. In other words, they will not be having a peaceful nuclear program. They won't have any nuclear program at all, as I understand it, which again makes sense because you know what they'll do if they have the ability to enrich uranium and they have the ability to create nuclear weapons because they've got nuclear materials for so-called peaceful means. You know what they'll do? They'll make a nuclear weapon. Number three, sanctions will be lifted, but they will not be lifted until there is compliance. I believe compliance with the top two, which is all nuclear materials were destroyed or removed and the nuclear program dismantled. That's when the sanctions will begin to lift. Now, apparently, there'll be a sort of a period of stages for this, that as they take action, sanctions will be lifted, and that this will happen not all at once, but over a period of time as they demonstrate goodwill in doing what the agreement requires, which makes sense. The Strait of Hormuz will be open. Now, Iran is claiming that they're going to be charging tolls and all that. And again, but what we're hearing is from the president, the Strait of Hormuz will be open, period. He's already ordered the naval blockade dismantled. I mean, that's over. And here's the final thing, no funding of terrorists. That Iran will no longer be able to finance terrorist actions around the world. Now, how you stop them from doing that? If they're not dead, I'm not sure. But that's part of the agreement. That's a step in the right direction. enforcement, in my view, is an entirely different matter. Here's the other thing that the question has been raised by experts, and I agree with it. What about the centrifuges? What about those machines with which you can enrich uranium? Will those be removed? And in my view, yes, they should be. If you're not going to be enriching uranium and you're not going to have nuclear materials, you don't need the nuclear centrifuges. Remove those too. So as a result of this announced agreement, folks, apparently the Strait of Hormuz is opening. Oil is going to flow more freely. Apparently, on the announcement, the price of a barrel of oil dropped 5%. Boom. We know President Trump predicted that, didn't he? He said it would drop like a rock, and it's dropping. My guess is, assuming that this goes through as it's been announced, my guess is within a matter of days or week, we're going to see significantly lower oil prices, which is, again, what the president promised. That'll be a good thing. The stock market is just taking off. It was up 600 points on Monday. And apparently no cessation of the surge. People are buying stocks left and right. This is a very, very good sign for the world economy. And people are happy about it, and people are jumping into the stock market over it. Now, all of that said, is, look, I trust President Trump. I don't trust the Iranians. When I say I don't trust the Iranians, you could put my level of trust in the Iranians in the negative, okay? In the negative, you know? I don't have zero trust for the Iranians. I have negative 100 trust in the Iranians. I mean, that's how I have absolutely no trust for them. Number one, remember, I've said before, these people are zealots. They are fanatics. They are Twelvers, which is a sect of Islam that believes in the coming of the 12th Mahdi, who is is apparently hiding somewhere. He's been in hiding somewhere since the 800s. I mean, you know, this stuff is just, it's bizarre, but this is the crazy stuff. Cults are like that. I've said the Democrat Party has become a demonic cult, and they believe all kinds of weird stuff. And so the Muslims believe some kind of weird stuff, that some guy's hiding somewhere and he's going to emerge when the time comes, and he's going to be the worldwide caliphate who rules the world by Sharia law. And that's who they believe in. That's what they're expecting. That's what they want. Add to that the fact that Islamic law allows, in fact, encourages lying if that lying advances the cause of Islam. They call it taqiyya. If that lying advances the cause of Islam, you may lie. In fact, you are encouraged to lie. So, are they lying now? Oh, yeah, we're in agreement with this. Well, the administration has been saying trust but verify, just like Ronald Reagan said with the Soviet Union, trust but verify. I agree, trust but verify. Well, except maybe just don't trust at all. just verify. No trust, just verify. But look, if this deal indeed goes through, and the president has been able to solve a problem that has been dogging us for 47 years, which is a belligerent, dangerous, terroristic Iran, once again, I think he goes down in history as one of the greatest presidents in our history, and one of the greatest presidents in the history of the country. And he just continues to succeed. You remember he used to say, you know, we're going to be winning so much. You're going to say, you know, stop winning. We can't take any more winning. We're just winning so much. You know, his sense of humor is. Well, I tell you, it does look that way, doesn't it? And it looks like he just keeps winning. That's why I say that the blessing of God, the anointing of God, the favor of God is on Donald Trump. I don't believe Donald Trump is doing all this on his own. I really believe that the hand of God is helping him. And remember this, folks. God doesn't call leaders for the leader's self-aggrandizement. God calls leaders out of love for his people to help his people. That's the purpose of leadership. I mean, even our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what does the Bible say in Romans chapter 8? It says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. He delivered him up for us. God didn't call Donald Trump to make Donald Trump great. God called Donald Trump, well, forgive me borrowing this, but to make America great. And not so we can say how great America is, but so that America would be a place where we could all live in peace. And frankly, live without the constant aggressive encroachment of a godless, secularist, atheist, wicked, twisted, sexually deviant party that's trying to impose its will on the country. So, right now, from everything we can see, it appears that another victory is at hand. Now, that leads me to something else that we've really got to talk about. And I'm going to probably be talking about this from now until November. Folks, one of the reasons why I have been profoundly concerned about this issue is we have got midterm elections coming up. And if the Democrat Party takes over the Senate and the House, President Trump's agenda is dead in the water. And if President Trump's agenda is dead in the water, our country is right back in a crisis, in deep trouble. I mean, we're in a moral and spiritual crisis now, even with President Trump is in office. We're in a moral and spiritual crisis now. This thing is not over. I believe we're in an awakening, too. I believe there's some wonderful things that are happening all across our country where we see God emerging and people getting saved and mass baptisms and college campuses erupting in revival. And, you know, the whole Turning Point USA movement with, you know, Turning Point USA chapters focused on faith in God cropping up in high schools all over the country. We see some wonderful things happening. There's no question about that. But we are still in a moral and spiritual crisis in our country because there are forces at work that are militating against all of that. And wherever they can, seeking to undermine that, to reverse whatever progress is made, and they are chomping at the bit to get anything and anybody out of the way who is stopping their agenda. And President Trump is, I mean, one great, big, giant, 800-pound gorilla in their way. You and I have got to be praying and believing God. I mean, and in praying, I say believing God, not just praying, folks, but activating our faith, believing God that our prayers are being heard and answered, that God is going to do something historic in this upcoming election, and it would be historic. Because as you all know, There might have been one or two instances, but as you all know, it is virtually unheard of that the party that holds the White House wins the midterm elections. That doesn't happen. And the question is, will it happen during Donald Trump's administration? And the answer is, it can. It can, if we will believe for it, pray for it, and believe for it, and then fight for it. Faith without works is dead. I believe God will give us the victory that is almost historically unheard of. Again, I don't know, but let me see if I can find real quickly. How often the party holding the White House has won midterm elections. Because I know it's very, very unusual. Okay. Apparently Franklin Roosevelt did in 1934. And George W. Bush did in 2002. That's it. That's it, twice. Twice. Now, according to my quick look at the research, twice. So that means it can happen. But it's very rare. I mean, think about that. 1934, and then the next time was 2002. And of course, you know what was interesting? Franklin Delano Roosevelt, 1934. What was pending? The rise of Adolf Hitler. We hadn't gotten involved in World War II. But it was looking over our shoulders, and we were just coming out of the Depression. Well, we weren't even coming out of the Depression at that point. We were still in the Depression. But the Depression was looming over the heads of the people. And so they gave Roosevelt control of the Congress after he had been elected president in his midterm elections because they felt he was heading in the right direction. They didn't want anybody stopping him. Then they did the same thing for George Bush after the attacks on 9/11. Interesting, kind of similar situations. The nation in crisis, a president leading in the direction the people want, and the people giving the president control over the Senate and the House because they want that agenda to continue. I think we're poised for the same outcome this time. This would only be 24 years later, a lot quicker than what happened between Roosevelt and George Bush, which is what, 68 years apart. Yeah, 68 years apart. So we've got to pray and believe God for that outcome because, and folks, I really do not believe that I'm overstating the case. And I wouldn't say something like this for mere effect or hyperbole. I believe it's true that our republic stands in the balance, not our democracy. See, these people who keep talking, our democracy, our democracy, our democracy. I wish conservatives would get their vocabulary straight because even some conservatives use that. When the Democrats use that word, what they're really saying is they believe that once they get power, they can do whatever they want to do. And frankly, the Constitution for them, I think, is a dead letter. You know, during the, I don't know how many of you watched it, I got to see a little bit of it, but during the UFC championship fights at the White House, on the White House lawn, the Democrats did a counter program with Jane Fonda. Oh, I'm sure the whole world wanted to watch that. Hanoi Jane, you know, watch this traitorous woman. You know, at one point she claimed to be a Christian. She's a bit more Christian than the man in the moon. But basically just a counter program to denounce Donald Trump. Donald Trump may have just done what no president's been able to do in the last 46 years, but they're busy denouncing him. The economy is booming. The stock market is rising. Oil prices are falling. And the president is bringing our troops home from an action to stop a mad dog regime that was threatening the whole world with a possible nuclear war. Because if they got a nuclear weapon and attacked Israel, you know what's going to happen. Nuclear weapons are going to be unleashed. There'd be a full retaliatory response by Israel. I have no doubt that others would then respond, and we would probably be drawn into it. I mean, that's how serious the situation is. President Trump is perhaps, based on what we know now, has solved it, and they are busy denouncing him. You wonder, well, what do you want? Well, maybe I suppose they want a civil war. I mean, civil war, sir. I suppose they want a nuclear war. They probably want a civil war, too, since I mentioned it. Why, I don't know, because I won't even go down that road because I don't want that, and I don't even want to speak that into the atmosphere, so, and over the radio. But Bernie Sanders and this guy, Graham Platner, and AOC, they said we need a revolution. What does that mean? I think they mean whatever it takes to get full control of the country. I think that's what it means to them, including violence. So, good news, it appears. But there is a major battle looming. And I don't mean the one in Iran. I mean the one here at home coming up on the first Tuesday in November. Those of us who love this country and believe in everything it represents, the last thing in the world we want is to have to look back and say, we lost our country during the year that we celebrated our 250th anniversary, and frankly affirm what historians say, which is 250 years is about as far as a great nation goes. And that is the beginning of the end. Because, you know, if we lose this midterm election, it could well be that, folks. It could well be that. I'm hoping for an historic victory that allows us to continue with strong borders that protect us from the invasion that we experienced the last 4 years under Joe Biden. Strong common sense that allows us to keep boys out of girls' sports and out of girls' locker rooms and girls' showers. And I'm believing God for a revival even that allows us to roll back all of this crazy stuff, like allows us to get rid of this so-called same-sex marriage, because there is no such thing. And allows us to once and for all get rid of abortion. See, you all know, I'm convinced that what we need are constitutional amendments that resolve these things once and for all. And right now, the politics suggest, well, it's just not possible, it's not feasible, it's not doable. But how would we know until we try? How do we know until we start putting the debate before the American people? How do we know that people won't rally and say, you know what, that is the right thing to do? We don't. Because we're so busy accepting the reality of what we face that we fail to realize the possibility that God could do the impossible. But we'll never get there if we can't get through this year. Well, let's put it this way. It's far less likely that we'd ever get there. I don't say never, but far less likely that we'd ever get there if we can't get through this year. If we can't keep a Congress that is going to work with and support the president and allow him to enshrine into law the policies that he is implementing, because you all know executive orders can be changed at the stroke of a pen by the next president if the next president is either a Democrat or even a Republican who may not agree. So we've got a big challenge ahead of us. I don't even want to get into the presidential race. I meant to say, I don't even want to talk about the presidential race right now. I'm definitely not getting into it. I didn't mean that. But I don't even want to talk about the presidential race just yet, because I think we've got to focus right now on these midterm elections coming up in November. And I hope that every single one of you takes that very, very, very seriously, because, folks, I believe there is so much at stake that we can't overstate it. We just can't overstate it. By the way, you know, don't you, that we have more identifiable blue states than red states. Think about 19 red states throughout 24 blue states. And the rest of them are swing states. You know, they might go either way. They might lean a certain way, but they can go either way. I mean, we've got to get to a point, we've got two-thirds of the states on our side so we can pass some constitutional amendments that forever resolve the issue that you can't kill unborn babies, period. That forever resolves the issue. Take it out of the Supreme Court's hands. No, two men can't get married. Two women can't get married. They can enter into any kind of union they want, and they can call it whatever they want. But what they can't do is impose that on the entire society as a legal marriage. That they cannot do. They want to call themselves married, they got the First Amendment right to do so. But as far as demanding all of the legal rights that come with marriage, they shouldn't be allowed to do so, because it's not a marriage. It's a made-up abomination created out of the wickedness of the human heart. And get rid of all this stuff. There's 57 genders of Tallarico. At least Tallarico got us down to six, down in Texas. Yeah. There's six genders. Boy, where do you come up with that? But come down to it, again, a sane society where we all understand there are two genders, male and female. That's it. Close up shop. You can go home now. That's right. There's no more to be said. Store closed. Two genders, male and female. Two sexes, male and female. That's it. That's all. Again, you can call yourself anything you want. You can wear whatever you want. But what you can't do is sue me because, as a man, you come to work in a dress and I fire you. You can't tell, oh, you can't do that. You violated my civil rights. No, I violated your foolishness and sent you packing. That's what's got to change. Yep. Look, we are a country of freedom. People can do whatever they want to do if they're not hurting somebody else in doing it. They can do whatever they want to do. And by the way, I support their right to do it, even though I don't agree with what they're doing. But what I don't support is their right to legally impose that on you and me. and make you pay and me pay and everybody else has to pay. Your daughter has to shower with this big old nasty man because he thinks he's a woman. And he's in the shower with it all hanging out. But she's supposed to put up with that because if she doesn't, she's a bad person. And the law is on this idiot's side, not on your daughter's side. No. No. That's got to stop. That's got to change. And it can. We just have to believe God for it. We have to pray for it, work for it, and step out there with a vision for what we want our country to be and stop accepting what we call the political realities. Because look, if in fact these things are intractable and changeable, intractable and unchangeable, what in the world do I have to lose by trying? I mean, really, what? Time, maybe, some energy? Look, the Democrats spent $56 million on ads alone selling a referendum in Virginia that proved to be a lie, that even the court said was a lie. That what they told the people it was about was a lie. And they spent $56 million selling that lie. So yeah, it might cost us some money to promote the truth. Cost us some time, cost us some energy. But you know what? You shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. We want our people to be free. And they can't ever be free if they're bound up in a bunch of lies. That's what we want for our country. That's where we want to go. And winning these midterm elections coming up is a critical part of that. See, folks, I know people will say, well, you know, that's politics. It is not politics. It's prophetic ministry. It is prophetic ministry. Because what it comes down to is whether we're going to allow righteousness to exalt our nation, or we're going to allow sin to be a reproach upon our people. Whether we're going to be rejoicing because the righteous are in authority, or we're going to be mourning and groaning because the wicked are bearing rule. Comes down to whether we're going to be a Psalm 9:17 nation. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. Or we're going to be a Psalm 33:12 nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. This is profoundly spiritual and prophetic. It just happens to be fought out on the realm of a political battlefield. But the ultimate battle is a spiritual one, not a political one. As I've said before, you know, Andrew Breitbart famously said, politics is downstream from culture. Bishop E.W. Jackson has said, maybe not so famously, but I've said it, but culture is downstream from the spirituality of a nation. As the spirituality of a nation goes, so goes its culture. And as its culture goes, so goes its politics. But the root, the wellspring of the political condition of the nation is the spiritual condition of the nation. And we've got to make sure that the spiritual condition of America is righteous. And there are forces hard at work to try to drag us in the opposite direction, to drag us into the abyss of wickedness and depravity and degeneracy. I don't know whether you all had a chance or get a chance to listen to my sermons or watch them, but you can get them on my YouTube channel, the E.W. Jackson YouTube channel, or you can watch them on my Facebook page, E.W. Jackson for America, or Bishop E.W. Jackson. But In my sermon, I'm preaching a series on family, because that's what I do from Mother's Day to the end of June to offset this ridiculous and disgusting Pride Month nonsense that, again, is also being sold to the American people. I talk about the family as God designed it, rather than this deviant nonsense that the left and the Democrat Party is trying to push on the country. And I want to say again, I thank God for President Trump, who's not having any of that. No so-called rainbow flags, which again is a blasphemous misappropriation of God's sign and covenant with the people of the earth, that the earth would not be judged or destroyed by water again. But they want to blasphemously appropriate that and use it as a symbol of their own sexual depravity. So what you and I have got to do is recognize these forces and stand against them without apology. So and uphold the family as God designed it. And I was talking about the fact that the Democrats spent $20 million on a study about how to reach men. And I put up during my message a picture with Joe Biden at, I think it was at a July 4th celebration. But here he's got some guy standing, some guy. I mean, God's got a mustache and a beard, but he's in some kind of sequin dress or something. And I said, you couldn't tell from the picture perhaps, but if you look at the video, you see all the guys in the front row beside him are effeminate. They're feminized men. I said, well, if you want to reach men, then talk to men, not to men who think they're women or want to be. You know, God made male and female, and he put very, very serious distinctions between us, so that there would not only be compatibility, but that there would be a complementary relationship, that we would complement each other. Two men can't do that for each other, and two women can't do that for each other, period. God knew what he was doing. I said, and you can't order a family or a society around something that violates God's order. It won't work. It simply will not work. What is it? Proverbs 14, I think it's Proverbs 14, 12. It says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the ways thereof are the ways of death. It won't work. I gave you a wrong site there. It's 14, I said 14:10, 14:12. 14:12. Yeah, it won't work. God's way is the only way that will work for a family, for an individual, and for society at large. I mean, we can be a blessed nation, or we can be Sodom and Gomorrah, and it's clear that there are forces that want us desperately to be Sodom and Gomorrah. They may not consciously want the nation to be destroyed, but Jesus said the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's his raison d'etre. That's what he has in him. That's all he knows. He has nothing in him but destruction. If he builds an edifice for you, he builds it to have it collapse on your head. That's all he knows. But Jesus is the rock. And when you build on the rock, the wind blows and the rain falls and the storms beat, but the house doesn't fall because it's founded on the rock. And as we contemplate our 250th anniversary as a nation, that's really the question, isn't it? Are we going to be a nation that is founded on the rock so that the vagaries and vicissitudes and the calamities of life do not destroy us because of what we're founded on? Or are we going to build on the quicksand that the left wants us to build on so that any little wind will blow us over? I know what you're committed to. You're watching this podcast. You know what I'm committed to. If you listen to me at all and watch me at all, I love this nation. I believe it's a gift from Almighty God. And I believe God has called every single American citizen to be stewards over the great gift he has given us. And I believe what happens to America is not in God's hands. He's put it in our hands. But if we will be faithful, I believe that God will take up our cause and see to it that it does not fail. If we abdicate, I believe God will allow us to reap what we sow. But if we courageously stand up for what we know is right in the sight of God, I believe God will, just like I said, just like he did with Jehoshaphat. When Jehoshaphat looked at the armies coming against him, and believe me, folks, they're outspending us, they're outorganizing us. In many ways, we're facing the same things Jehoshaphat faced in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, where he looked at the people of Mount Seir, the people of Ammon, and the people of Moab, and said, God, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And God told him, set yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. And you've heard me, forgive me if I'm being repetitious, but it's always worth hearing again. God didn't say, go home, go to bed, go to sleep, I got it covered. No, he said, set yourselves. You know what that means? Take your battlefield position. And then stand. Don't move. And then you'll see the salvation of the Lord. Because it will not be you that fights, but God will fight the battle for you. But he wants you on the battlefield. He wants you fully armored up, and he wants you positioned to do battle. Because that's the step of faith, folks. That's the step of faith. So I am encouraged by you, and I mean that. These bozos out there in the world, all these Hollywood crazy people, and these the leftists, and all these Democrats, and homosexuals, and transgender. I love them, pray for them, have no hope in them whatsoever. My hope is in you, because Christ is in you. Those of you watching and listening to me, because Christ is in you, and he is the hope of glory. And that's why I end the program the same way, because I say it because I believe it. And I trust that you do too. So God bless each and every one of you. Thank you so much for supporting our network. And thank you for listening and watching the Awakening Podcast and listening to all of our great hosts on this network. And we're going to continue to bring you not only information, but inspiration and revelation. And in the meantime, you know what to do. Stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up. Because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side. And folks, by the way, don't forget the Truth Tour coming to North Carolina, to Matthews, North Carolina, on Friday, June the 19th. Get in touch with us, truthtour@standinc.net, or call us at 757-375-6444 so that you can attend, let us know you're coming, or you can have me come to your community, your church, your company, your organization to talk to people about the truth that sets you free. Facts about American history we were never taught because people, sadly, wanted us to hate our country rather than love it. I'm setting the record straight. So God bless each and every one of you. Until next time, this is Bishop E.W. Jackson here on the Awakening Podcast on American Family Radio, AFR. God bless everyone.